There was a commotion up behind the bench, and a bailiff opened a door. "Everyone rise," he announced. Judge Lupus crept through it and shuffled to his seat, his faded black robe trailing behind him. Once situated, he surveyed the crowd and said,
"Good morning. A rather nice turnout for a bail hearing."
Such routine matters generally attracted no one, except for the accused, his lawyer, and perhaps his mother. There were 300 people watching this one. It wasn't just a bail hearing. It was round one of a rape-murder trial, and few people in Clanton wanted to miss it. As I was keenly aware, most folks would not be able to attend the proceedings. They would rely on the Times, and I was determined to give them the details. Every time I looked at Lucien Wilbanks, I thought about the lawsuit for $1 million. Surely he wasn't going to sue my paper, was he? For what? There had been no libel, no defamation. Judge Lupus nodded at another bailiff, and a side door opened. Danny Paget was escorted in, his hands cuffed at his waist. He was wearing a neatly pressed white shirt, khaki pants, and loafers. His face was clean-shaven and free of any apparent injuries. He was 24, a year older than me, but he looked much younger. He was clean-cut, handsome, and I couldn't help but think he ought to be in college somewhere. He managed a slow strut, then the sneer as the bailiff removed the handcuffs. He looked around at the crowd and for a moment seemed to enjoy the attention. He showed all the confidence of someone whose family had unlimited cash, which it would use to get him out of his little jam. Seated directly in back of him, behind the bar in the first row, were his parents and various other Pagets. His father, Gil, grandson of the infamous Clovis Paget, had a college degree and was rumored to be the chief money launderer in the gang. His mother was well-dressed and somewhat attractive, which I found unusual for someone dim-witted enough to marry into the Paget clan and spend the rest of her life secluded on the island.
"I've never seen her before," Baggy whispered to me.
"How often have you seen Gil?" I asked.
"Maybe twice in the last 20 years.
The state was represented by the county prosecutor, a part-timer named Rocky Childers. Judge Lupus addressed him.
"Mr. Childers, I assume the state is opposed to bail."
Childers stood and said,
"Yes, sir." "On what grounds?"
"The horrific nature of the crimes, Your Honor. A vicious rape in the victim's own bed in front of her small children. A simultaneous murder caused by at least 2 knife wounds. The attempted flight of the accused, Mr. Paget."
Childers' words cut through the hushed courtroom.
"The great likelihood that if Mr. Paget leaves jail, we will never see him again."
Lucien Wilbanks couldn't wait to stand up and start bickering. He was on his feet immediately.
"We object to that, Your Honor. My client has no criminal record whatsoever. Never been arrested before."
Judge Lupus looked calmly over his reading glasses and said,
"Mr. Wilbanks, I do hope that is the first and last time you interrupt anyone in this proceeding. I suggest you sit down, and when the court is ready to hear from you, then you will be so advised."
His words were icy, almost bitter, and I wondered how many times these two had tangled in this very courtroom. Nothing bothered Lucien Wilbanks. His skin was as thick as rawhide. Childers then gave us a bit of history. 11 years earlier, in 1959, a certain Gerald Paget had been indicted for stealing cars over in Tupelo. It took a year to find a couple of deputies willing to enter Paget Island to serve a warrant, and though they survived, they were unsuccessful. Gerald Paget either fled the country or secluded himself somewhere on the island.
"Wherever he is," Childers said, "he's never been arrested, never been found."
"You ever hear of Gerald Paget?" I whispered to Baggy.
"Nope.